Thank you, Heather. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank Mount Zion Baptist Church for allowing us to present this fabulous forum here tonight. I would like our speakers, I thank our speakers for showing up. We have a fabulous cast. It's going to be a very interesting night. This is a forum about community, knowing more about the cannabis industry and the legislation that's about to happen. And what we have to do is really shine some light on what's going on. Many of the people in the community really don't know what's going on. They don't have an idea what's ready to happen. They're ready to pass legislation that's going to affect many people's lives. And personally, within my community, African-American community, I think they're in the dark and they just are thinking about, oh, we can just smoke. It's all right to smoke, and not really understanding and knowing what the legislation is all about. They don't know about the fines and all the other little sub small writing that's in the documentation. What I would like to do is make sure that people get a full and an educational and an understanding of what this legislation is about and how it will affect their lives. And this is why we brought together this cast and this panel over here tonight, to give you a wide range of pros and cons of the good things that's going to come from legalization and some of the things that we think that are negative that's going to come out of legalization. I myself am for legalization of marijuana, but I'm against the legislation as it stands. The legislation as it stands, I don't think really is about social justice. It won't stand for social justice at the end of the day. Minorities will still be affected, will be affected the same way that they have. I think that expungement is one thing, but that's bureaucratic talk. You know, paperwork work, and it takes a long time. So they're trying to work that part of it out. I hope they do work that part of it out, but there's other issues that we have to deal with. In New Jersey, you know, minorities are 3 to 5 times to be arrested by police and pulled over, and that's something systemic that's already in the system. I feel like this allows the opportunity, another reason for them to be pulled over, and that's a systemic opportunity for a law enforcement officer to use his bias in that situation to still put that us as African Americans in a position where we have to prove our innocence, even if we're within the amount of marijuana that they say is that we have. When we're at the discretion of these police officers in that particular situation, he still has the discretion at that moment still to lock you up, to tow your car, you have to go to court, pay the fine, go before the judge, and do all of these things and be inconvenienced from these different things that many people don't know about. They're going to get a chance to just get deliveries. I'm talking about white folk, get deliveries straight to their house, go just to the dispensary, ride right past the police, don't get pulled over, go through any of these different circumstances and things like that. And for me, I don't think that's social justice. They're not giving you a blueprint of what the fines and what the infractions will be after you've gotten caught with a certain amount. He pull you over. People don't know that you're gonna get DUIs. How are you gonna find out if you're driving high? You could have smoked 2, 3, 4 days ago, whatever the case may be. Your car could smell like that. But you're at the discretion of the police officer at that moment. And if we go by history, in the history of this city, in this country, and everything else, we understand how that works out for African Americans at the end of the day. That doesn't work out well. So people in my community think, oh yeah, I can smoke now, it's legalized. I could just walk outside and start puffing, and they're gonna be in for a rude awakening if we don't get more information and people letting them know what the actual outcomes and how this law is actually gonna work. I don't understand how we don't have those things worked out before the legislation is even put in place and even voted on, letting people know so we'll know what's the fines. People got to know what's going to fine if you're still going to be fined. You're still going to get locked up for marijuana. So how is that ultimately, you know, social justice? How come we just can't decriminalize it in the first place? Make it not a crime to have it in the first place. Why won't we do that in the first place? This is for the legislators out there. That's what we should be working on. You know, we're talking about $42 an ounce of taxing on an ounce. You think that you know, I mean, people going to go to these dispensaries, especially us, and you putting it all in our communities at the end of the day, we're not going there to go buy that for with no tax, no extra $3 when I can go around the corner to my boy's house. Not happening. When they're talking about these taxes and they're lowering and these things like that, it's going to smash out the black market. It's going to make the black market stronger than ever. Ever. Those places are built just for white folks to be able to go and get their weed freely without any problem in justification. And it will be like that for them. But for us, African-Americans, it truly will not be that way. And I think that people, politicians need to really think about that before they make their vote. I think that it should be legalized, but I really think that we need to decriminalize first and foremost, and we need to show everyone what the rules and regulations want to be ahead of time so people know what they're in for. So with that, you know, I want to start the show off, and I want some of these important people right here, the pros and cons. We're going to hear different views, different perspectives. You're going to agree with some of this information. You might not agree with it, but we're all going to be respectful here tonight. We're going to be listening. Try to take some from some of these folks will be around later on if you want to talk further and things like that. And hopefully after this forum, we can get this panel back again and do this again somewhere else. Definitely. And for anybody in the house, if you haven't had donations, you know, we definitely taking donations and things like that at the door. So I would like to start the show off, first of all, what one of our guests, Mr. Ken Walski. Ken Walski is coming to this, explain to you exactly what he's all about in his position here.
Thank you, Hank. My name is Ken Walski. I'm a registered nurse. I've been an RN for 43 years here in New Jersey. I've worked in psychiatric hospitals, intensive care units, and coronary care units. And I've worked for 22 years in the New Jersey State Correctional System in various capacities. For the last 13 years, I've been executive director of the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. The mission of our organization is to educate the public about the benefits of safe and legal access to medical marijuana. And we've been having meetings on at the second Tuesday of every month at the Lawrence Township Library from 7 to 9 p.m. Public's always welcome. We've been meeting there for over 11 years. We were instrumental in 2005 in getting the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act introduced into the legislature. And in 2010, we were instrumental in getting the medical marijuana passed into law, the Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act. Now, the Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act, when it was going through the legislature, it was a very good bill. It included home cultivation of six plants for patients who had an ID card with the Department of Health. It included chronic pain as a qualifying condition for any patient. And it recognized out-of-state ID cards. However, and when this version of the Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act passed in the Senate in February of 2009, there was an explosion of interest in the entire region. Pennsylvania came over and talked to us, and they introduced a medical marijuana bill. Delaware introduced a medical marijuana bill. Maryland introduced a medical marijuana bill. And New York had a medical marijuana bill, but they revived interest in it. And it was a very good bill that passed then. However, when the bill went to the Senate, a funny thing happened. It was stripped of many of its best provisions. They took out the home cultivation for patients. They took out chronic pain as a qualifying condition. And they took out recognition of out-of-state ID cards. So it was really bittersweet that this bill passed into law in its weakened version. But the good thing was that the state of New Jersey recognized marijuana as medicine, and that is something that still the federal government does not do. Marijuana was officially recognized by the state as medicine, and certain conditions were allowed to be taken up for and used medical marijuana for. So 42,000 patients now have access to medical marijuana through the Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act. If we had waited for a better bill, 42,000 patients in New Jersey would not have access to medical marijuana. If we waited for a better bill, there would not have been the same explosion of interest in medical marijuana in the entire region. And if we had waited for a better bill, we would not have been on the verge right now of legalizing marijuana in this in the state of New Jersey. So bills are not perfect. And S2703, the marijuana New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory Expungement Aid Modernization Act is not a perfect bill. It doesn't have a lot of things that people want in it. But it does legalize marijuana in the state of New Jersey. And I say that we should not wait for a better bill. We should support S2703. And there's a press release that you're welcome to take with you that outlines some of our organization's positions on this out at the table with the red tablecloth. So I invite you to look at our position and understand why we are supporting S2703. It is a good bill. The New Jersey Civil Liberties Union says that this bill is one of the leading bills in the entire country in terms of social justice and in its expungement aid and the way that it tries to develop and make provisions. At least 15% of all the licenses are going to be going to minorities, women, and disabled veterans. So there's a set aside for entry into the industry that is built into this bill. And there's an expungement aid too. That expungement is trying to make it as automatic as possible. Expungement is a very difficult process in New Jersey, but this is one of the things that they're trying to address. People don't realize when you get arrested for a marijuana offense that there are not only criminal penalties that you face, but a whole host of civil penalties too. A marijuana arrest can affect what kind of education you get, what kind of employment you get, what kind of housing you're able to get. So a marijuana arrest record can stay on your life and can have more severe consequences than the criminal record. And it can have a more long-lasting effect on a person's life. And this is one of the things that we're trying to do away with, trying to make even out the playing field for people. Now, I've been involved in this for a long time. I was telling one of the audience members that I wrote my first letter to the editor in support of marijuana reform in 1967. In the early 70s, and that was still, we were under the Marijuana Tax Act back then in 67. That wasn't declared unconstitutional until 1969. And in 1969, it was Woodstock. 500,000 people went to this festival and they used marijuana. And they repudiated by their behavior and their understanding the government's insistence that marijuana use would lead to insanity, criminality, and death. That's what they said. That's how they justified the draconian penalties against marijuana, because they said it was so serious. And all these people were saying, well, no, marijuana use is more likely to lead to peace, love, and happiness. So there was a cultural revolution at that time, and I was convinced that marijuana would be legalized by the end of the 70s, by the early 80s, and a lot of other people were. But unfortunately, Ronald Reagan was elected president in the 80s. We had 8 years of the most repressive reinvigoration of the war on drugs that was started in 1970 by President Richard Nixon. And I worked for 22 years in the New Jersey Department of Corrections as a nurse in various capacities. When I started working at the DOC in 1984, there were 9,000 inmates. When I retired in 2006, there were 27,000 inmates. The inmate population tripled just in the time that I was working there. And 86% of those inmates were Black and Hispanic. And that was something that I recognized immediately as I was working there, that this is a great social injustice. And what was the great driver of this mass incarceration? It was drug laws. Drug laws, enhanced penalties for drug laws, and enforcement of drug laws. And are we a safer society because of this? No. I was born in Trenton. I I graduated from Trenton High School in 1966, and I choose to live in Trenton now. And Trenton, the poverty rate is 28%, twice the national average. The violence that is involved in Trenton is terrible. We never had, I can sit at my window and listen to gunshots on a summer night. And, you know, it's, and it, has this mass incarceration been effective in controlling drugs? No, not at all. Drugs are more available, they're stronger, and they're cheaper than ever. So it's a failure of a policy. Our mass incarceration, our war on drugs has, it's the worst policy this nation has ever come up with, in my opinion. It is as bad as alcohol prohibition and the Vietnam War combined in its national and its international effects on people and the damage that it does to society. And here we have a chance, and 50%, over 50% of the war on drugs is the war on marijuana. And here we have a chance right now to strike a blow against this war on drugs, a very important blow, a blow that can really say that, no, we don't want to live this way anymore. We want to change our approach. We want to stop this mass incarceration. We can legalize marijuana. We can end 32,000 arrests in the state of New Jersey every year. 600 people every week get arrested for marijuana offenses, and we can put an end to that. But we need your support. We need you to tell your legislator. We were very close to getting this done at the end of March, but we just fell short. We just need more support. So I'm asking you to support 2703, despite the limitations that it has. Get this done. I've been working on this since 1967, and marijuana reform is incremental. We see changes, we see improvements, and now we're on the verge of legalizing it. And if we don't have a perfect bill, it just means there is more work to do. That's all. But I urge you to support S2703. Thank you very much for your attention.
That was Ken Wolski, Coalition for Medical Marijuana. And again, you know, I forgot to say who I was in the beginning. You know, I'm Henry Hank Green, voice of AC, and I'm a part of New Jersey Revolution Radio. I got that right from my man, Brian. I'm glad everybody's entertained. We're going to move right along with our next guest, Hugh Giordano from the UFCW. We're taking this labor movement right here with marijuana, you know what I mean, to the top choice right here. We're coming right at it, making sure that people are covered and everything like that. But people like Hugh is going to make sure that, you know, people are represented properly. That's going to start, be a part of this industry. Thank you.
All right, it's easier to take it off. Hello, everybody. My name is Hugh Giordano, and I am a union representative for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 152. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union represents around 1.3 million members across the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. And we represent workers in healthcare, in warehousing, in trucking, in public government services. And we even have barbers on the army bases. So we are a diverse union. And one of the industries that we represent now is the cannabis industry. A lot of people don't understand this, but in many states, such as Washington State, New York State, California, there are labor laws in the bill that protect workers to form and join a union. In fact, it mandates that they must sign up with a bona fide labor organization within a certain amount of time, or they lose their license. Now, many people may ask, you know, why is it so important that there are strong labor laws within cannabis? It's very simple. It's going to be a moneymaker, and a lot of rich people are going to make a lot more money off the backs of the working class, just like any other industry. If we look at alcohol, and I'll use alcohol as an example because I think it coincides with the way it's going to be regulated and some of the things that are going to be happening in the future. A lot of the alcohol workers, most of them, are unionized. They get good wages. They get good benefits. They get sick time, vacation time. They get to be a human being and actually live. They work hard 40 hours a week, but they know that they're getting something with that. Same time, these folks that own alcohol companies are making billions of dollars in profit, not only in the United States, but around the globe. It's a global industry. Cannabis is going to be a global industry. And it's going to make a lot of money. That's why workers within this industry have to be protected, period. If we look around the globe, you have places like the Philippines, Taiwan, already talking about expanding and creating a medical program. We're going to have global competition. Canada has already legalized it and is already exporting it over to Europe. These are jobs that could be in the United States right now. These are jobs that we could be exporting, a union-made, American-made cannabis, and we could be the global leader in creating jobs. A lot of our jobs have went overseas due to trade laws. This is something that we could control and own. And if we get involved now, and this is why it's so good to have so many voices involved, because this is an American issue. This is a workers' rights issue. These jobs should be here in America, and they should be a living wage job. So let me talk a little bit about why we feel it's important for labor to be involved. In New Jersey right now, there is language, and my union was instrumental in getting this language into the bill, where it says that not only do these companies have to sign a labor peace agreement with a labor organization, but they have to make good faith efforts to do that and also negotiate a collective bargaining agreement, which is a union contract, which means that when Wall Street investors, and that's many of who is winning these licenses, they're from Wall Street. These aren't little mom and pop folks that are coming from California that were hippies back in the 70s. These are ruthless, rich Wall Street folks, people who own lots of real estate, because it's a very expensive business industry to get into, and they make it that way from day one. And that's why the union believes that if rich people are going to make more money off of working class people, then we have to make sure that those working class people have a living wage, that they provide good health care, retirement, training, sick time. I'll give you an example of some of the stuff we did all done in the industry already. In Washington State, we unionized the largest retail shop out there called Have a Heart. Have a Heart has hundreds and hundreds of employees in Washington State and is expanding to California, Oregon, and is trying to get in. They're one of their organizations trying to get here on the East Coast. These folks in Washington now have health care that they can travel with. So when they work in Washington, they can travel to New Jersey to train workers based on the principles they have in Washington State. These workers know that each week that they get that they're getting a paycheck. A lot of people don't understand that cannabis is an all cash industry, even in these states that are legalized. So folks have to pray and hope that they get their wages for the hours that they worked. Whether you agree with cannabis or you disagree with cannabis, if it's legal, those workers should be treated with respect. They should know that they're getting a paycheck and it's not minimum wage while the Wall Street guy drives a Bugatti, bottom line. So those are some of the things that we're doing. Also, if you look at it, being union, having a union involved in cannabis is a way for patient protection. And let me tell you why. In Maine, for example, when they passed a medical cannabis program, it was written in law that they couldn't use certain pesticides, just like we have here in New Jersey. But we all know that rich folks don't care about laws too much. It's just a fine. We can pay it off quickly, right? We'll make more money in the long run. So what happened at that point is, since it was a new industry in Maine and the workers, again, there wasn't many locations, a lot of workers have fear to speak out against their employer because, and let's use an example in New Jersey. There's only six up and running. So if your employer is doing something wrong and you report him, there's no doubt in my mind that worker will be blackballed within the industry of New Jersey because they're all buddies, all these owners. They all hang out together. So that's why workers need somewhere to go. So in Maine, they were using illegal pesticides. Patients were then taking this cannabis and using it to medicate people with stage 4 cancer, people with HIV, people with other major diseases should not be smoking medicine or ingesting medicine that has illegal pesticides on it while the owner makes lots of money. So what those workers did was they reached out to the UFCW. We didn't even represent those workers, but they felt comfortable reaching out to us because we knew that, one, we would go to the state. We had connections there politically to make sure that this issue got taken care of. And two, they would have protection. They would have protection from their employer from being fired for being a whistleblower. And that protects patients and that protects consumers. Also, by having folks in the cannabis industry unionized, that means that people are going to have a good wage. It'll be a career, not just a job, because it's a trade. And at the end of the day, this is a trade. There's science behind this. You have to be a very literate, educated person because the science on this is constantly changing. You know, whether it's talking to a patient and explaining to them how the certain strain will make them feel, to the point of growing it in the back, and there's new technology and new chemicals to use, you know, horticulture, chemistry. This is a science-based trade. And anybody says anything differently, does understand, you need to visit a dispensary and find out for yourself and talk to these workers. And by making sure that these folks who are highly trained and have quality pay, there won't be turnover. Patients shouldn't have to see new faces every week like it's working at Wawa or CVS. These need to be living wage jobs, so people are just long-term commitment to these careers. People get quality medicine, and it's important. So we believe that labor as a whole in the long run is going to make a big difference. Bottom line is unions change communities. There's going to be more workers than there are owners, period. And I know a lot of the conversations about people owning dispensaries, and it's great. There's no doubt in my mind. The union totally supports small business, supports more women and minorities in this business, because they, especially minorities, people who have been black and brown have been hit, targeted the most, and they should be compensated for dealing with what they dealt with through social injustice. But the bottom line is, this is a working class issue. There's going to be more workers, and this bill has the strongest labor language in the country. Every single dispensary besides micro licenses will have to have a union, which means that those workers will walk in day one knowing that they're treated with respect. The folks that work here, that live here in this community, know that they can get a paycheck and then go out to the restaurant and take their kids on vacation. People in the cannabis industry will be able to, with this bill, the way it's written now, will not only work to survive, but they'll work to live. So please, if you have any more questions for me, I'll be here. But the UFCW is here. We represent thousands of workers around the country in Canada in cannabis. We represent Garden State Dispensary. And our goal is to represent this entire state. Workers will have a voice in cannabis. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. Appreciate that. So that's very important that once the industry does get here, that the people that are working and that are in the industry, the little people, that they have an opportunity to work without fear because of the federal government. At the end of the day, marijuana is illegal. So, you know, they need some protections on all fronts. And so we have to keep that in mind. And, that, you know, there are different aspects to the marijuana business that's coming up. It's not just the dispensaries. There's so many different ways that you can get into the business. We just asking our communities to open the door for us and give us an opportunity to participate in this behemoth of opportunity for everyone else that's sliding in and out. And you know, and we feel squeezed out. We want an opportunity. We want to make sure we're at the door. Again, we're talking about the economics and business and how there are so many different avenues to go. Our next guest is in that line of economics and have a business that's going to splurge and grow because of this legislation once it gets enacted. And so I want to go to our next guest that we have on our Mr. Frank Salucci. You was right, Heather. Salucci.
I'm one of these guys that talks with my hands and moves a lot, so I'm Italian from New Jersey originally, so go figure. So I appreciate being able to come back here and actually speak in my home state. My company, 420 IT Solutions, has been around for going on year 11. Brilliant brainchild of mine. I'm actually a medical patient, and this actually was an idea that actually came over a session with my business partner. Okay, so you're saying, how does this guy get into this business? You're going to get a former Big Four partner, Pricewaterhouse, and my partner is an EY partner. And both of us have been providing professional services to clients in healthcare, banking, manufacturing, for all of our careers. And we also were, you know, closet tokers, if you will. You know, nice sativa in the morning, get you going, get you through your day. Get things done kind of thing. I learned early on to self-medicate because I'm allergic to a lot of different kinds of pain medicines. I can't take Advil, can't take anything to do with Oxycontin or any of those types of things. Okay, so what do I do? Well, I'm getting older, right? I got back problems, 47, 48 years old, pretty soon. I use cannabis daily, 24/7. To me, it's always been a medicine. To me, it's never been anything other than a medicine. And I believe everyone should have equal access to it. There shouldn't be any crime to grow this plant that helps people. There shouldn't be any inequities associated with something that was put on this planet that can be grown by everyone. And I mean everyone, okay? You want to get down to the down and dirty, oh, soil science. I went to Rutgers Cook College. I could talk to you about soil science all day long. I could talk to you about lights. I could talk to you about cycles. I love this plant. But one thing I don't like is people going to jail as a result of using this medicine, as a result of growing this medicine for their medical benefit. I don't like that. And that's why I'm here tonight. My company provides basically a whole set of business professional services for the cannabis industry to help these folks run their entities as a business. You got to remember, this came from the black market, right? A lot of the folks that are actually farmers that I deal with, and you know, you might say, hey, how does a Jersey guy get involved in this? Well, you know, I love cannabis, number one, and I spend a lot of time in California. And I got to know a lot of these folks. And a lot of these folks, basically, you know, they came out of a situation where they were scared to deal with people. It's illegal, right? You're going to put me in jail. It's counterculture, right? Well, here's the thing. Most people don't know that there's provisions in the banking laws that allow legal entities that comply with their state regs, that comply with their laws, to not only get access to insurance products if they're compliant, but also to limited amount of banking services. Until the rules and regulations change federally, there's only a couple organizations that I know that could actually process payments in this industry. We actually provide compliance services for them throughout the country. I'd like to help folks in New Jersey learn from this experiences in other states. We do a lot of work. I do know who Have Heart is, by the way. Have a Heart is one of the most compliant 502 entities in the state of Washington. I've been to many of their locations. And these folks actually treat their employees well. I did not know they were a union, though. That's good to know. But these folks, I'd like to see everyone treated with equity and fairness in this space. And for those that don't know how to comply with the laws, come talk to me. We're in 4 states operating right now. We've been around for 11 years. People said, hey, what do I need compliance services for? What laws? We're a medical dispensary. I can go get a card next door and I can go buy cannabis and then it could go right out the back door. Well, that's great. But when people and governments realize that there's money to be made, things change, right? Now what's going to happen? People are going to get excluded, right? So here I am. I'd like to help people comply with the laws. I'd like to have you get access to information that I get by doing what we do in 4 states that are up and running for us right now. We're in Michigan, California, Washington, and we're just getting started in Nevada. And what I'd like to do is help folks run their businesses like a business, comply with the laws. And yes, we do need those laws. Okay, because without it, we're going to have a society that runs amok. Do I think we need to have the bill that we have proposed in New Jersey? Is it perfect? No. But a lot of places started someplace. What this bill is going to do is going to create a shortage of cannabis. Straight up shortage of cannabis. It's going to create a price spike. The black market's going to perpetuate. We saw it in Washington in the early years. It took years for people to realize that this has got to stabilize, the price points come down. Folks, it's a tough industry. It's tough. I know so many farmers that just this past year in Washington went out of business. Just this past year. And I'm not talking on 2 sets of hands. Okay? So this is great. It's fine. Good business to get into. But just like any other business, this one came from the black market, right? And it's an industry that is, I used to call it the wild, 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 wild west. Now it's just the wild, wild, wild west. And it's going to stay wild for a long time until the industry matures. There's a lot of M&A money coming in from the outside right now. And God help us all if we don't do this right. What I do think is we should learn from the other states that have kind of made some good things. They've kind of done some bad things. There's enough states that have legalized cannabis to learn enough to do this right. I don't think we need to push a bill, in my mind, just for the sake of pushing it through. There's got to be a provision at some level for home grow. Home grow is an important thing because not everybody can get access to the specific strain of medicine that helps them. Tell me where you can get Critical Kush in New Jersey. Anyone? No, right? Critical Kush. Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. Critical Kush at a New Jersey dispensary. You know what helps me? That strain helps me. And I'm not getting it anywhere in Jersey, right? And is that fair? Is that just? Is that equitable? No. You need to be able to have the access to be able to grow the medicine that supports your healing. First and foremost, do I support legalization? I do. I do. But I support medical legalization throughout the country first and foremost. Access to patient, access to care, access to medicine, first and foremost. Yeah, are we going to see it in New Jersey? Sure, because money can be made from it. And it's unfortunate that that's what's going to get legalization in the minds of the folks here, because look, at the end of the day, money can be made, it's taxes, right? But we do have enough information to do it right, and there's enough professionals out there that have this information and would love to share it with the folks here in New Jersey, and I'd love to spend more time at home. So thank you guys for having me. I'm sorry I'm Italian, I talk a heck of a lot more than I should. Have a good one.
The Jersey boy. It's all right. Thank you. I appreciate that, Frank, the information that you're giving. And what Frank did was just open the doors for you folks out there who think you want to get into business. He's saying right now, holler at him. Give him a call. So his information, you know, being backtrack, maybe we'll try to get that information out. What's the name of it? 420? 420 IT Solutions. Compliance company. So you guys out there that are listening, that think they want to get involved or have the finances and the money and things like that, there you go, right there. There's an avenue and a door for you. You got it right here on New Jersey Revolution Radio.